Good afternoon. Will you stand with me and join me for our call to worship and remain standing through our congregational hymn? Fear and fascination drew observers to the first Holy Friday. These emotions have attracted people ever since.
We cannot flee from the pain and suffering which Jesus experienced on our behalf.
We wonder why one so faithful and loving had to face the agony of rejection and death.
Jesus was wounded for our transgressions and was bruised for our iniquities.
In this time of worship, we join Christ at Calvary, aware of our involvement in the cruelty there. Our faithfulness is tested at the cross, and our lives are judged by our response. Let us pray. Eternal, we thank you today that you have brought us once again to the celebration of Good Friday. And as we gather today, we thank you for your powerful sacrifice for our sin. We remember your struggles. We remember your agony. We remember your sufferings. And we thank you. And we thank you, Lord, that through your sacrifice, you have brought to the world salvation. You have given us the gift of uniting with God through you, and we thank you for that. Lord, help us as we serve you each day to remember that you did so much for us, and that were it not for all that you provided, we would not be here. We would not be a church. We would not be the people of God. So as we take these moments of reflection, of remembrance, be with us today. Be in our worship, be in our singing, be in our praying, be in our preaching, and let us leave this place more grateful for what you have done for us. In the name of our Christ we pray, amen. And will you join me now as we sing our hymn number 96, The Old Rugged Cross.
By the world as a wondrous attraction. Crucifixion of Jesus as recorded in Luke, beginning with verse 26. As the soldiers led him away, they seized Simon for Cyrene, who was on his way in from the country, and put the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A large number of people followed him, including women who mourned and wailed for him. Jesus turned and said to them, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children. For the time will come when you will say, 'Blessed are the childless women and wombs that never bore and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if people do these things when the tree is green, what will happen when it is dry? Two other men, both criminals, were led out before him to be crucified. And when they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, 'Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing.' And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. And they said, 'He saved others. Let him save himself if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one.' The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, 'If you're the king of the Jews, save yourself.' This was written above him, 'This is the King of the Jews.'" This is the word of God.
Thank you.
Thank you, choir. That was beautiful. See how they done my Lord. Sometimes for Good Friday worship, we have the seven last sayings, or we have a tenebrae service, or we have a special musical presentation. But this year, I wanted to just have this time with you today. I want my last memory of Good Friday as a pastor to be of those who have served with me. And those I have served. So.
Amen. That's all right.
I want to read from the Gospel of John, chapter 19, if you will go with me. John 19, didn't expect to get emotional. John 19, 28 through 30. From the New International Version. And the text says, later, knowing that everything had now been finished, and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, I am thirsty. A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it up to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. The word of the Lord. My title is Completion. Thank you, ushers. Today is Good Friday, but as we gather to commemorate Jesus' death on the cross, we are moved and struck by the powerful scene that unfolds on Calvary. Today, for us, is Good Friday. But Jesus hangs on a cross, suffering the agony of crucifixion and bearing the weight of human sin. Today for us is Good Friday, as we stand on this side of resurrection history and celebrate our redemption. Let us never forget the tremendous burden Jesus carries for us. Jesus' sayings from the cross, from "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," to his final saying, "Into thy hands I commend my spirit," take us deeper into Jesus' experience and Jesus' commitment to his mission. And today I want to briefly revisit one of the sayings. It is finished. This is the saying of completion. John tells us, and knowing that everything had now been finished, he says, it is finished. As Jesus hangs on the cross, in the throes of death, Jesus runs through the parameters of his calling and mission. He reviews his journey. He assesses his work, his obedience to the Father, and fulfillment of God's plan. Jesus reviews his ministry, his teaching, his preaching, his healing, and his service. Jesus reviews the scriptures. He knows that he has completed his mission. And after this review from the cross, Jesus declares, "It is finished." The cross is the crowning statement of Jesus' obedience and submission to God. Jesus has gone all the way. not just geographically, but missionally. He has gone all the way. Jesus has gone all the way to the cross and to the grip of death, and he declares, "It is finished." He doesn't spell out what he means when he says, "It is finished." But if we look at Jesus' journey for a moment, we can discover what he really means. One thing we'll notice from Jesus' journey is he comes to the earth as what I call love's greatest gift. He's love's greatest gift. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The sending of Jesus to the world is rooted in divine love. It is the love of God that ignites this redemptive journey. Because of God's love, God sends his greatest gift, his only Son. And the Son is not God's first foray into redemption. This is not the first time God has addressed the sin issue. Ever since sin entered and marred creation, God has been sending avenues of grace to humanity. God has sent the patriarchs. God sent the law. God sent the prophets, all gifts of grace and redemption. And in Jesus Christ, God sends love's greatest gift. The Bible says in 1 John 4:10, "This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." So Jesus represents love's greatest gift, but he also represents love's greatest cost, because God knows that sending his Son as the answer for redemption requires the sacrifice of his Son. God knows that salvation carries a cost, the death of his Son. Forgiveness requires the shedding of blood. That's what Hebrews says in Hebrews 9:22. The Bible says, "In fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness." And so God knows that redemption carries a heavy cost. Paul says, "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him?" So when Jesus says it is finished, he knows that the cost for sin is being paid. He knows that the price of redemption is being paid. He knows that he is giving his life for humanity's sin. No longer will humans face the penalty of sin. I like what 1 Peter says in 1 Peter 2:24. It says, "He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. For by his wounds you have been healed." And so Jesus embodies love's greatest cost. He completes the payment. That song that we've heard years ago, "Jesus dropped the charges," is wrong. That's bad theology. Because Jesus doesn't drop the charges. He just pays the price with his own life on Calvary. Completion is the right word because Jesus' sacrifice pays the cost and the penalty for our sin. So he comes to earth as love's greatest gift, but he also comes as love's greatest cost. And finally, he comes as love's greatest accomplishment. The Bible says, that is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. What God accomplishes through the death of Jesus Christ is not only payment for sin, but through Jesus, as I said last Sunday, God also breaks the grip of sin on humanity. And God opens the door for all who believe to enter God's family. That's the best accomplishment on Calvary, that the door is flung wide open for all who believe to come in and enter God's family. The Bible says, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Love's greatest accomplishment is turning faith into a whosoever enterprise. Faith no longer rests in the restrictive confines of exclusion. It is no longer just for the Jews. Faith becomes the possession of all who believe in Jesus Christ. Jesus opens the door to the world and invites the entire world to join God's family. It is done. It is finished. Red, yellow, black, white, old, young, rich, poor, educated, uneducated can now come in because the door is open in this whosoever will enterprise. It is finished. And that's why 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Aren't you glad today on this Good Friday that all of us are invited, like our forebears used to say, we are invited to sit at the welcome table. We are now children of God. We are now citizens of two kingdoms. That's why we sing that powerful hymn, to God be the glory. Great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his son, who yielded his life and atonement for sin and opened the life gate that all may go in. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood to every believer, the promise of God. I like this part, the vilest offender, the worst sinner, the biggest devil who truly believes, that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. He represents love's greatest gift. He represents love's greatest cost. He represents love's greatest accomplishment. Jesus hangs on the cross, having completed his mission. He entrusts his spirit to his Father only after he has finished his work. In fact, nobody takes his life from him. He says in John 10, no one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. Jesus doesn't quit on the job. He doesn't rush his exit from the flesh. Jesus hangs in there. and goes all the way for his mission. He reviews his mission. And when he is done, John says, with that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. The mission is completed. He has finished his work. Jesus walked the earth and lived the highest human life possible. He has completed his ministry of teaching, preaching, and healing. He has revealed the Father to the world. He has gone through the trials. He has been taken from judgment hall to judgment hall. He has received the death sentence. He has struggled down the streets of Jerusalem with a rugged cross on his shoulders. He has been raised on Calvary in shame. He has hung on a cross and interceded for his enemies, saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He has demonstrated that even in the throes of death, salvation is still possible, because he says to the thief, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Hanging on the cross, he thinks about his own beloved mother, because he says, woman, behold thy son, and son, behold thy mother. He hung on the cross, and from the depths of his soul, he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He has endured the physical agony of crucifixion and cried out, I thirst. He has examined his life, his work, his mission, and concluded, it is finished. Jesus has done everything he could, and he submits to death for us. He hands his spirit over to God. That's what he does. He doesn't just let death take him. He says, God, I'm handing my spirit over to you. I tell you, he puts it in the right hands. There are no hands like the hands of God. Nobody can hold your spirit like God can hold it. He doesn't give up the ghost until his mission work is done. Isaiah prophesied about this day. He told us this Friday was coming. Isaiah said, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. I'm so glad today that Jesus lifted me. I don't know about you, but I'm glad Jesus lifted me. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Very deeply staying in within, seeking to rise no more. But the master of the sea, heard my despairing cry, and up from the waters lifted me. Now safe am I. Love lifted me. Love lifted me when nothing else could help. Nobody but Jesus, nobody but Jesus brought me all the way. Nobody but Jesus picked me up, washed me clean. Nobody but Jesus. Hallelujah. Completion. Completion. The invitation, Christian discipleship, is extended. Will you stand with me as our ministers and deacons come?
I was sinking deep, far from the
the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, from the waters lifted me. Now sing. On this blessed Good Friday, how fitting it is that we share the Lord's table. And I invite you today to the table of the Lord as we receive God's body and blood. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." Let us pray. Eternal, as we gather today on this Good Friday, and our hearts and thoughts move toward that special day where you sacrificed your life for our sin, we thank you today for your blood. We thank you for being the gift of God to the world. We thank you for paying the cost, the price for sin, because the greatest accomplishment is that we are now a part of your family. All can come in. As we receive your body and blood, may we remember your sacrifice and continue to live our lives carrying your word and spreading your truth. Bless these elements and consecrate them. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Served. As we eat and drink together, let us remember the Lord Jesus. I remember. Hallelujah. Will you stand with me? We have a responsive benediction on your sheet on the back. And join me in the responsive benediction. Go out to keep vigil at the cross. Let prayer and meditation be a means of transformation.
We carry with us the tragedy of this day, but also its possibilities for reclaiming the heritage and recovering the faith to sustain and move us.
Sharing the agony of Jesus' rejection and death, knowing how often we add to the pain.
Our intent is to take up our cross and follow, though we shrink from the anguish and falter at the cross.
Say yes to the Christ without excuses or reservations. Worthy is the one who was slain to receive glory and honor and power. Amen. God bless you, beloved. Happy Good Friday.